Great. Welcome again to the new congregation. It feels like a different congregation. That's great. And we're going to be continuing our series on prayer, looking at the prayer of faith, praying in faith. Are you ready?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Who believes God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Yes. Amen. That, and he it's an incredible thing. We had a wonderful time with Ian and Rosemary. They stayed at our house. We looked after them. And it was just great to hear some of the testimonies coming back this week. And just keep reaching out to Jesus for his touch in your life. I just thought I'd share something funny because I haven't shared anything funny recently. I've been very serious. How many people remember Reinhard Bonnke? If you're from Africa, you'll know him as the Pope. No, I mean, I'm joking. One really funny story was at the NEC in Birmingham. They were taking testimonies that people were being healed. And this man comes on and Reinhard goes, "What has Jesus done for you?" And he says, "Oh, he's healed me of piles," which is something to do with the here. And then Reinhard, not knowing what it was, because his first language is German, says, "Do what you could not do before." And at that moment, his assistant ran on and said, "Reinhard, this is not one of the do not what you could not do before testimonies." Anyway, it's all part of church. I tell you, I could write about 10 series on church life as a fun series. But anyway, I won't do that. Not till I get to heaven anyway. Wonderful. Praying in faith. Today we want to look at, it says in Ephesians 6, 18. Did I put it in? No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I was working on this late last night. Well, no, was it? Anyway, whenever it was. It says Ephesians 6 in the NIV, the nearly infallible version. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. Amen? And one of the things we need to understand when we talk about prayer is there's a number of different kinds of prayer, and one kind of prayer is different from another kind of prayer. A friend of mine felt for a few months God told him, just pray first commandment prayers to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. Just forget about all your needs and who you're going to marry and what car you're going to buy. Just worship me. And he went for a whole season of just loving the Lord. And prayers of worship is prayer. Amen? And so I would encourage you in your prayer life, always begin with worship and thanksgiving. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Amen? So before we're asking, we've got our Sainsbury's shopping list ready. Worship God. Amen? A prayer of thanksgiving. Amen? If you're low on the thanksgiving side, if you're low on the worship side, begin with thanksgiving. Begin with thanking him, honoring him, loving him. Amen? I know one preacher said this, if you give me 10 minutes with God, I'll spend 8 minutes thanking and worshiping. And then I'll start a little bit of some petitioning. Get that right. Amen? Today we're going to look at the prayer of faith, or the prayer of petition, some people call it. It's a simple prayer and receiving a simple answer. Prayer of intercession, it's kind of something you're petitioning on behalf of someone. It's like Moses. God says, you know, these guys about the Israelites, they've really mucked up. You just step aside. I'm gonna have to put them aside and you will carry the promise. And Moses says, well, what are they going to say in Egypt? And he started interceding on behalf of those people. And it said God relented. Amen? And, you know, we need to, there's a place of intercession. And that's not necessarily going to be a quick prayer and, oh yeah, I receive it. No, it's a prayer where you're engaging God. It's a similar word to an attorney is interceding on your behalf. He's appealing your case. And that is an art. And there are people here really deep in that. I want to encourage you. That's really important at this time as we intercede for the nations and we intercede for this nation. Oh, my Lord. I never knew we could get in such a pickle in such a short time. Contemplation prayer, or some people call it soaking prayer, other people, and we've been doing it quite a lot. We're very Pentecostal charismatic, but in the prayer meeting, sometimes we've become just being still before the Lord and knowing He's God. Amen. Some of us think the phone call, have you ever rang someone and they just can't stop talking? And you think, I rang for a conversation. And all I'm getting is, when you ring God, listen to Him. Learn to be still. Listen, whatever's happening in the nation, I talked to someone not long ago, and they said, I'm getting so concerned about the nations, and I just said, just remember this. Be still and know I am God. I will be, not what might be, I will be exalted among the nations. If you're watching the news more than you're spending time in His presence, can I encourage you to get God's news rather than man's interpretation of the news? Amen? Corporate prayer, praying together, that's really important. We need to, something happens in the prayer. I can honestly tell you, so often before I go to a prayer meeting, I'm feeling tired, I'm feeling like I've got a migraine, oh, I don't know if I can go tonight. And within 5 minutes of starting the prayer meeting, I know the presence of God. Can anyone relate to that? Is when you come together, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there. He's there with you individually, but He's also there with you corporately. And the prayer of consecration, where we commit ourselves to God, where we offer ourselves, consecrate ourselves before Him, and prayer of the Holy Spirit, that the talks in Romans about praying with groanings that words cannot express. Sometimes when you're praying for someone, you're just so caught up and you feel something of what God feels about that person. And you're crying out and you're groaning. And some people say, I didn't know what was happening. Well, that was you offloading the burden of prayer to God. Amen? Now, there are other things too. I don't want to, that is not a conclusive list at all, but there's just some examples of different kinds of prayers. And so there's a place for travail, there's a place for intercession, there's a place for thanksgiving. But I want to talk to you about the prayer of faith, prayer of petition. And it comes out of relationship. Nigel prayed that I would hit the bullseye today, so it's on your faith, Nigel. It comes out of relationship. If you want to truly pray accurately, Jesus talked about two areas here. If you abide in me, that literally means remain in me. I love some of the testimonies that Rosemary gave and Ian gave about, God doesn't leave you when you leave this meeting. He's with you on Monday morning with that nasty boss growling at you like a sore bear that's just been woken up from hibernation. He is with you. I remember one time being, and this person was saying all this nonsense about me, and I just felt the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And it was, oh Lord, You're with me. Thank you, Jesus. So it's remaining, as the old brother Lawrence said, practicing the presence of God. Amen? He's with you every day. Walk with Jesus. That was what Ian was talking about. He's with you. So you have that relationship. That's how faith really comes out of relationship. And I can honestly tell you, the things when the still small whispers of God, the still small voice, where he brings a scripture and he makes it alive, you'd think it would come when I'm at the, you know, so many minutes into my quiet time, just when the room is still and everyone, you know, and I have this. No, often it's as I'm walking down the street. Amen? Yeah. Often it's as I'm driving the car at 69 and a half miles an hour. Sometimes even 71. No. But it's because you're walking with him, he speaks to you. And he said this, if my words abide, remain in you. So you're not praying soulish prayers. You're not just praying daft prayers off the top of your head, although I've seen God answer daft prayers. I remember, I think it was Colin Urquhart said he was in a meeting and someone prayed the daft prayer, Lord, shake this room with your power. And the room started shaking. But anyway, God will, yeah, anyway, God is, as you abide in his word and you abide in him, he says, ask whatever you wish. Why whatever you wish? Because as you abide in God, he works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. So you're not praying for an air-conditioned kennel, well, actually a heated kennel for your dog, because that's not really the high priority of God right now. Although Milo barks a lot at night, we're actually going to gang up on him, get a water pistol and to keep him quiet. He's waking us up in the middle of the night. He's just, but anyway, you're praying in line with God's heart. Amen? And whatever you wish, it will be done for you. And so I just want to say, it's not like whatever you want. No, it's as you abide in him and his word abides in you, you can ask what you wish. Living in Christ, it comes out of relationship. Amen? Relationship with him, relationship to his word. Amen? So today we're going to focus on petition, and some people are this is the words of Jesus. Amen? It's not my word, it's his word. Jesus answered them, he just cursed the fig tree and it withered, have faith in God. And one translation of this is, have the God kind of faith. And so it's not something you're working up. Amen? It's something God is doing in you. And I've seen people working up, trying to work up faith. Oh, I'm believing. I really am believing. I'm believing. I'm believing. I'm believing. Well, I'm not really believing. Faith is something that comes out of relationship to God and his word. Amen? Some people think it's almost like a psychological, you sort of work it up in your mind. Let me tell you, it's not positive thinking. It's believing thinking when Jesus has spoken to you. Amen? It's good to think positively, but it's thinking in line with what he is saying. Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast in the sea, but does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted. Therefore, when the Bible says therefore, look what it's therefore. Thank you. Therefore, I say to you, all things which you pray and ask, believe you have received them, And what? They will be granted. So you receive it, you pray, and you receive. Can I just say, you know, when you see that mountain, I think I've told this story before, when a lovely mum came to me and said, my son's on drugs, he's in trouble with the police, he's got all these things, and she went through this list, and after 10 minutes, I just said, okay, let's just stop there. I get the message. It's not going well for him. And I said, did God, while your son was in your womb, did God speak to you about his life? Oh, yes, yes, he did. He said he's going to use him as an evangelist. Okay, cool. Remember that. And while he grew up in church, and he grew up in a charismaniac church like this one, where you get prophetic words, and did God ever speak of his life? Oh, yes, this visiting evangelist came and said he was going to have a healing ministry. And obviously you weigh up words. They're normally confirmed in the mouths of two or three witnesses. Oh, yes, and he said he's going to be used to win many young people for God. I said, good, good. I said, can you see that could happen to your son? Well, of course, because God spoke to me and it witnessed, and I know. And I said, now this is what I want you to do. I want you to receive that in your heart and speak that over his life and pray that. Amen? Amen. And you know, within a year, he came, gave his life back to Jesus. And within a few months, God was using him to win many people for Christ and giving him a healing ministry. Amen? Can I just say, sometimes God needs to change you before he changes the circumstances. Amen? Now, there's nothing wrong with saying the facts are this, this, and this. I'm not saying deny the facts. That's how it is now. But you need to get hold of what does heaven say about it. Amen? And instead of speaking the mountain up, speak to the mountain, my son will be an evangelist. Amen. I declare your promise. Now, you have to make sure you're getting it right. You know, it's no good. My son will be a multi-billionaire and pay my pension because I've... No. Just get what God is saying. Amen. And start believing it before you see it. Amen. Is it going very quiet here? These are not my words. These are the words of Jesus, okay? Not that bit, but the scripture bit I'm talking about. You can weigh up the rest. Therefore, I say, all things which you ask, assuming you're walking with Jesus, believe that you have received them. You have to. It's no good going, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You have to. Oh, you've gone to sleep. No, you have. You've already got a good phone. You have to. What do you have to do? Receive. Amen. And then it belongs to the church, so you can't take it off the church. Believe you have received them. You receive it first. Then you receive it in the natural. Amen? And that's why we've got to understand what faith is and what faith isn't. There are some things I'm hoping for. And hope is not like the British hope. I hope it's sunny tomorrow. Amen. That doesn't mean anything. I don't know what the weather forecast is, but and it's rain. Okay. I've not believed it. That's right. Yeah. Hope in the Bible is confident expectation. You're expecting, but you haven't received it yet. And that's where you've got to be discerning between biblical hope, which is a good thing, Three things will go into eternity: faith, hope, and love. Amen. The greatest is love. But there'll be faith in eternity. So in eternity, so you might not just be sitting on a cloud playing a harp. God might just say, now go and bless that cosmos and fill it with blessed. I don't know what he's going to do anyway, but do you see what I mean? There'll be faith in eternity. Hallelujah. Sorry, some people say, oh, I'm tired of living by faith. No, there'll be faith in eternity. Okay. We've got to pull on the nature of God. I love this verse in James. If anyone lacks wisdom, does anyone lack wisdom here? I lack wisdom. There's about 50 million things I need wisdom on. Amen? I've got a teenage son. I need wisdom. Amen? Oh, okay. You've been there and done it. Let him ask God. Now look at this. What James describes God as, who gives to all liberally, or another version says generously, and then it says without reproach, or another version says without finding fault. Amen? And it will be given to him. But let him who ask in faith, if you've asked for wisdom, receive it in your heart. Thank you, Lord. I don't feel it right now. I can't necessarily think it right now, but I have it because I have asked. Amen. In faith. With no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed around by the wind. One of the things we need to discern, first of all, we need to remember, so many people said, what was that quote from Luther? In prayer, it's not laying hold of God's reluctance, but it's laying hold of his willingness. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? He's willing. He's generous. He wants to give to all without finding fault. Get back to your childlike prayers. Amen. One of the things I enjoyed about, you know, being around new Christians, I believe God for that parking spot. And there it is. And I just love that simplicity. But you see, we need to be honest. Sometimes we have that moment where God speaks, where God shows us. And then somehow we trickle over and we're becoming wavering and we're being tossed around like a ship on the sea. This is what I encourage you to do, if that's happening to you, even if it's happening today. Remind yourself where God spoke to you. Amen? Go back to the promise that God gave you. Amen? Go remind yourself of the place you were when God put that in your heart. Because the enemy, when the word comes, he wants to steal the seed out of your heart. And there may be opposition. There may be, sometimes it says there will be persecution because of the word. Hold fast to what God has said. Amen? Hallelujah. Gosh, is this okay? Are you all right? Are you still there? Hold fast. And that's why you need to discern. And if you've slipped into unbelief in an area, you know, I just knew that I knew. I got it there. Go back to that place. Do you remember? I remember when I first got saved. And the presence of God came into my room. I was reading this kind of hippie Bible. I had long hair. I had more hair back then, of course. And I received Jesus. And then a day later, as my Lord and Savior, and a day later, I was like, what was that all about? What did that do? Am I really forgiven? Is Jesus? And I began to waver. And then I had to get back and pray, and then suddenly God gave me more scriptures into my heart, and I came to that place of what I call settled faith. Amen? Amen. And so don't give up because you might have wavered a bit. Come back. And write, this is, I'll come to it later, write down what God showed you. Because the vision can tarry. But write it down, or draw it, or do something with it, so that you can keep running the race that God has for you. Is this making sense? I'm going to give you two definitions of faith from two translations of the Bible. The first is the nearly fallible version, the NIV. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So we don't see it naturally. I remember the prophetic words we were given back in London in coming to Newbury is that you're coming into a harvest. You're going to have a harvest. And during the lockdown, it seemed like, oh, Lord, here we are. We can't even meet properly. We can't da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And God reminded me of that word and said, get back to that word. Believe that word. Another verse that we, the word we had many times in the prayer meeting, is that there will be a trickle of new people, and the trickle will become a stream, and the stream will become a river, and the river will become a flood. Well, you got lots of flood around Newbury in the recent weeks. You can see what it looks like. Is God at that time? It's like, how's that going to happen? But no, the trickle, and someone said to me this week, is becoming a stream. Amen. Go back to what God said and showed you. Because every vision and everything will nearly always be tested. Hello. It's gone quiet. My Quaker friends. No. Now, this is the New King James. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. What's a substance? It's something tangible, isn't it? You carry it. This people group will be touched by God. Hallelujah. You carry it. I remember Reinhard Bonnke, when he came to the church I was in Notting Hill Gate, he said, Africa shall be saved. And it wasn't like someone going, Africa will be saved. It was out of his spirit. Do you get that? There was substance to it. It's evidence of things not seen. You haven't seen it. It's literally, one version of that is the title deed. If you own a house or mortgage a house, there is a title deed for that house with your name on it. Amen? And it, you hold it, you have it. That means that that house is yours. Faith is a substance, saints. Hope is good. Biblical hope is good. But you haven't quite got it. Faith is now. I have it. Amen? I remember being in a prayer meeting, and we were praying over an issue. I think it was over a building. And we were praying and praying and crying and weeping, binding, loosing. I mean, we were doing the whole gambit. It was fun. And then suddenly we stopped and it went still. We looked at each other and we said, we've got it. How do you know? It's so hard to describe. You just know that you know. And we stepped from hope to faith. We just knew. And God wants us to be men and women of faith. Not trying to work it up, but knowing in our hearts. Now, Abraham is what? The father of faith. Amen? He's the pioneer. And even Abraham, at one point, years into his journey, said to God, look, can the promise come to Ishmael? And there's a great blessing on Ishmael, by the way. So never ride off the Arab people. There's a blessing on them that God gave, and God preserved Ishmael's life, sent an angel. And God said, no, it will be from Sarah, the child of promise. So Abraham, I want to encourage you today, had his wavering moments. Hello? He had his moments of waver. And he had to wait quite a long time. I mean, today, it's like, I prayed, and it didn't happen by lunchtime, so, you know, I'm out of here. Come on, saints. He waited decades. Some of you don't want to hear this, but I'm trying to help you walk in faith through real life. Amen? Here we go. This is at the end, towards the end, before the promise. Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed that he would become a father of many nations. And because it was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. Well, he was alive, but his body had conked out. Okay. He was about 100 years old. Guys, there's still hope for children yet. Hallelujah. You never know. You never know. 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. Listen to this. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being what? Fully convinced. Someone says, another version says, fully persuaded that he had promised was able to perform. God did it in the place of total weakness. Some of you say, why didn't he do it straight away? God is never late. And when you're weak and at the end of yourself, that's when he can show his real strength. Amen. But Abraham had come to this place. Everything is against us. But I'm fully convinced you're able to do it. Amen. Revival often comes at the worst times. You know, in the Methodist revival, there was so much crime. Most children by four were alcoholic because they were given gin to shut them up. You know, highwaymen roamed everywhere, particularly around Newbury, I think. And some of your ancestors were, you know, taking people out on the... Sorry, I shouldn't say, I'm joking. But it was an extremely dangerous country. We're not at that level yet. Drunkenness was extreme. And God came. And many people say we would have had the uprising they had in France here if it hadn't been for Whitfield and Wesley. So he comes at the worst of times because the worst of times become the best of times. Amen? Okay. God is merciful. Jesus said to the man, all things are possible to him who believes. And the father of the child cried out. Have you ever prayed a prayer like this? I have. I'll be honest. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. There was a waver. He was coming into faith. He was in the presence of Jesus. And then he wavered back. Oh, I'm not sure. But even that small level of faith, Jesus delivered his son. So God is gracious. He's not a hard iron. One of the biggest scourges of a healing revival is people who didn't get healed were told it's your unbelief. That is absolutely wrong. And it might be the person's praying unbelief. Who knows? It's you don't do that. We don't do that. Amen? God wants us to come to him. And there are areas, I'll be honest with you, there are areas where I've come into faith and then the enemy's pushed it back and I've come back. And do you know what I mean? But God has broken through. Amen. What is it, true faith, true biblical faith? How does it come? And how do we know we've got it? Faith comes by and by what? The word of God, the rhema, the spoken word of God. There's no commas in the Greek. So it's literally hearing and hearing. When I've been sick, and I was back in October, I got, you can play these streaming, and it's just scripture after scripture just washing over you, hearing and hearing. And after a while, it just clicks. I've received it. Amen? It's humbling yourself before God. It's that rhema word. It's abiding in his word, letting his word abide in you. Because when you allow his, it's no, don't, ex, you know, get into his word. Get hold of it. Let his word, as it said, therefore with meekness. Do you know what? You sometimes we get very arrogant and we're like, I know, no, I'm this, I'm that. No, humble yourself. With meekness, receive the implanted word of God. If you've got hardness in your heart, that word struggles to get into your heart. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before the Lord. And give him quality time for his word to wash into your life. Sometimes we need to stop shouting at God and start with meekness receiving from God. Amen? You have to receive it. He has. She's walking off with my phone. Oh, Lord, help me. Yeah, that's what I do when Carrie goes shopping. Lord, I just bind those credit cards. Faith is in the, it's of the Spirit. Sometimes we think someone's, you know, they've read a few scriptures. Faith, come, it's since we have the same spirit of faith. They said to Caleb, he has a different spirit. Amen? Well, he has a, it's not just up here. In the West, we got a whole lot of theology, but it's in here. When you know. Amen. I remember being in great need, and I was due to go on the 4 month, it's the first trip to Nigeria, live in Nigeria for 4 months, and I managed to get the money for the plane fare, but I didn't have any money to live on, and that is a bit worrying. And the ticket back was 4 months later. And I was just praying and praying and praying. In those days, I was, you know, Pesticostal. And I just felt the Holy Spirit, can you just shut up for a minute? Well, he didn't say it like that. But I knew I got it. And my mum, bless her, gave her life savings. It wasn't much. And I went to see a brother. And he said, do you need anything for your time? And I, yeah. He said, get in the car. We go to the cash point. And I got everything. Hallelujah. Just like you got your job online. You receive it here. A lot of us have got to go from here to here. Amen? When you get it, it's like it's on the inside. So that's one of the ways you can discern faith. It is, we who have believed do what? Enter into lots of noise and scream and shout, bang. Enter into rest. When I've gone from hope, confident expectation, to faith, it's like the striving's gone. I'm not trying to make it happen in my own strength. If you're trying to do a ministry in your own strength, you better be careful, because you start in your own strength, you have to continue in your own strength. You just have rest. And you've got it. And people say, aren't you worried? No. I'm in peace. I have received it, just like Esther thinks she's received my phone. I already have it. And I'm just thanking God. And I carry rest. If you're thinking, I'm in faith, I've pastored charismatic Christians for years. I'm believing. Let's just come back. What's God saying? What promise has he given you? Because it brings rest. Amen. I remember being in Albania. Dorian is not here today. And there were guns going off around her because they raided all the army barracks, 11-year-old kids shooting guns. But I knew that the team was safe. And we were having a meal, laughing our heads off. I was in the rest of faith. When I got home, I thought, we were so stupid. What were we doing there? Amen? Are you there? Isaiah 28:16, he who believes will not act hastily. The enemy always wants to get you in a tizzle. Amen? If you don't do this now, the judgment of God will anyway, put your own version to it. There are times when God says, you know, go for it. Speak to that person over the other side of Sainsbury's. Okay, but you're not, you know, someone said, last night I got a call to China and I'm going to book my flight today. No, let's just work this out. How are we going to do this? Let's pray for you. Let's work out, is there a timing to what God has said to you? Oh, it's going to be No, don't let the enemy push you into something. Because he who believes will not make haste. Amen. You have rest. You're at peace. You're not trying to do something crazy. Those Israelites, the 10 spies, came back and watch what you listen to. Because the enemy will bring people who will try and dislodge you from that place of faith. You know, I've got old friends who just say, Phil, what are you doing? You could be making lots of money. Well, God is our source. Amen. It's nothing. We love Jesus. We're doing it for him. And he blesses us and provides for us. Amen. Those 12 spies twisted the thinking of those Israelites. Be careful. Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Amen. Be careful what you hear. Keep remembering what God told you. Amen. See the answer. This is where Abraham is first described as believing. He went on the word of God in Genesis 12 and left his home. And then here, Genesis 15, God said, look towards the heavens and count the stars. Now, you can do this in Newbury. In London, if you did it, you'd be mugged. But, you know, at nighttime. But here, you can just enjoy the peace and tranquility of Newbury. Hallelujah. And you count. Have you ever tried to count the stars? You have? No. I was going to say, wow. And see if you're able to number. So shall your descendants be. Verse 6, the next verse. And he believed in the Lord. And God was very merciful. In the daytime, the sand on the seashore. In the nighttime, the stars in the sky. God will give you things to strengthen your faith. Amen? For Abraham, it was daytime sand, nighttime stars. That's my offspring. And by the way, spiritually, you're one of them. You're one of those stars. You're a star. Oh, okay. Amen. And so what's happened, I have, by faith, I see people coming in, trickling. I see a river. I see a flood. And then we have to, I don't know what we do. We'll work it out. What do you see? That lady over her son began to change what she saw and began to pray what she saw. God wants to give you a vision, amen, of his will. I remember, was it you, Enid, when the bus of hope that you pioneered with Peter came into Turnpike, you said, that's what I saw. At the wharf. She saw the bus in the wharf, prayed, God provided the bus, and it was in the wharf. Ask God, give me vision. I'm going to bring this into land. See the answer, speak. I believe, therefore I spoke. That's how you got saved. You believed and confessed Jesus is Lord. That lady began to speak what God showed her over her son. Amen? What has God shown you? It's okay to share the facts so people can pray with you, but remember, speak what God showed you. Amen? Abraham had to go around, because God changed his name from to Abraham, which is the father of a multitude. Hi, I'm the father of a multitude. Yeah, yeah, well, where are they? What has he said? I believe this church will be a place, and is a place, where people come in and encounter God. Amen. We're believing that this will be a place where the great physician does incredible work in people's lives. Amen. What you got to speak out, what you believe, that the lost will come, broken families will be healed, broken lives will be made whole. Don't just talk about the problems. Talk about what God is saying about the problems. Amen? Amen. See the answer. Speak what God showed you. Write it down. You can easily forget something God's shown you. Write it down or keep recalling it. Remember it. Speak that scripture God gave you. Make it plain that he who runs with it, that's you, may read it. Write down the things God has promised you about your family, about your life, about your church, about your town. This will be a crossroads of revival. Amen? God is blessing the churches in this town in a wonderful way at the moment. He would write it down, though it tarries. Not everything happens like that in the Christian life. Amen? Wait for it. For it will surely come. Amen? Hallelujah. Faith working with love. If you read through Hebrews 11, nearly all of those people stood for blessings for other people. To deliver Israel. We've turned faith into something totally selfish. Faith is to bring the blessing onto a town. Onto the individuals. Amen? And then lastly, exercise. I've got to do some, Nigel. Exercise your faith. If you truly believed, with faith without works is, as you walk out what God has shown you, pray out, speak out, exercise your faith. Hallelujah. And I just want to, it's all. Without faith, it's impossible. Arab Air has gone to Indonesia, and I can't pronounce the island, but you're there in faith. Amen? In faith. If it says without faith, it's impossible to please him, I would say, so if we're doing it for the right motive, with faith brings great pleasure to God. He wants his people to be men and women of faith. Our father was a man of faith, Abraham. The righteous shall live by. That's what the whole Protestant Reformation was based on, that. You're called to have adventures of faith. Believe God for divine appointments. Amen. Rosemary, bless her with her funny little ways. Rosemary Andrew sits down in the coffee bar and just believes that someone will connect with her and she'll be able to share something about Jesus. Have faith. Roy Godwin in a retreat center in the middle of nowhere. Lord, I don't just want to minister to Christians. I want to lead people to Christ. Someone knocks at the door 5:00 in the morning. How do I become a Christian? have faith. Without faith, well, I come to church every Sunday. Yeah, but come in faith. Amen. I serve, but I don't feel it. No, do it in faith. Serve the coffee in faith that I'm going to be a blessing. Pray over all the cups. Pray that, Lord, everyone that gets a cup this morning, that they will be blessed. Do it by faith. You are called to have adventures with faith. In your finances, ask God with divine appointments for your healing, whatever it is. The just shall live by faith. Have an adventure with Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Just thank him right now. Just thank him right now. Nigel's going to tell me if I hit the bullseye or not, but he thinks I did. Oh, that's encouraging. Hallelujah. I preach by faith anyway. Father, just to begin to speak to him right now. Where's Andrew? No, you're not meant to be praying. You're meant to be on the piano. Sorry. Sorry, we have a fun relationship, and Father, just thank him right now. And right now, Father, I pray, if we have let go of something you spoke to us and we've wavered and we've got ourselves tossed around in the sea, that Lord, we will come back right now in Jesus' name. Lord, let the promises of God just flow into our life afresh in Jesus' name. Let us hear and hear your spoken, your rhema word, Lord. Father, I pray in this church that we will be a church that pleases you because we are exercising childlike faith. Father, I pray that you'll open our eyes. The eyes of our heart will be enlightened. Lord, for each one of us, areas where we've given up hope, I pray you'll give us revelation for our children, for our lives, for our town, for our church. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray this will not just be words, but it will be an impartation of the spirit of faith, Lord, that we will be sure of the things hoped for. We will have evidence of the things we have not yet seen in the natural. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we're going to declare this is a house of worship. This is a place of miracles. And let's declare that over your life, over your home, over this church, over this town. Amen.